Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield. I am absolutely convinced that culture wars are just so 90s. Their days are growing dark. It is time to turn the page. We want a new day here in America. We're tired about arguing about the same old stuff.
Well, the first thing I'd do as president is sign the Freedom of Choice Act. That's the first thing that I'd do.
Some excerpts from a statement made last year by Senator Barack Obama at a Planned Parenthood Action Fund conference. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday, October the 24th. Now, I'm having a hard time squaring comments like that on the part of Senator Barack Obama with statements being made more recently by him. No one is pro-abortion, or those who are pro-life and in favor of Barack Obama who are saying, look, he really is pro-life. How do we square these two comments, these apparent contradictions, or can we? We're going to answer that question in the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. with Colleen Carroll Campbell. After our conversation with Colleen, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us for the last of our series with him on answering the objections of unbelievers today, errors and contradictions in the Bible. We'll see if there are, and how do we respond to that objection. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us. She's a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
I'm listening to that comment, or some of those comments, from Barack Obama at the Planned Parenthood Action Fund last year, and then I listen more recently to him and to his pro-life supporters. Has he changed his position? It sounds like he has.
It sounds like he has, but if you look closely even at the words he chooses, and more importantly at his record, it's pretty clear that his position on this issue has not changed. He's very good at finessing it depending upon who he's talking to. And certainly when he was in the primary campaign for the Democratic Party, going up against another pretty hardcore abortion supporter, Hillary Clinton, he was running to the left of her. But his record is very clear. He has been a consistent advocate, as he told Planned Parenthood last year, of legalized abortion, and he has never flinched, and he's promised he'll never yield. And there's nothing even in his new rhetoric to suggest that there's any real substance, any kind of substantive change on this issue from him.
So when he says things like he said in the last presidential debate, in answer to Bob Schieffer's question about, I think it was Roe v. Wade, when Barack Obama said, no one is pro-abortion, how are we to understand that statement?
Well, I don't think he wants to be called pro-abortion. The problem is there's absolutely no grounds to say that he's anything less than really supporter of a pretty radical abortion agenda, abortion on demand. He may not like the term pro-abortion, but when you go down the list of stands that would qualify you to be called by that term, or at least by something, you know, indicating your support for legalized abortion, he's there on every issue. For instance, in the debate, he said, no, I wouldn't use Roe versus Wade as a litmus test for Supreme Court nominees. But just a year earlier, he had bragged to Planned Parenthood how he had voted against Roberts and Alito because he saw them as threatening a woman's right to choose. even just a couple months ago, he told Glamour magazine that he couldn't see himself nominating a judge who didn't believe in the right to privacy as defined in Roe versus Wade. So right there, he's saying one thing, but if you're careful to look at his record, he's doing another. It's very clear on that issue.
The big question for me is, we're told by groups like NARAL, like Planned Parenthood, some women's groups, that Americans, that voters, that women in particular, really do want abortion rights. They want Roe with no restrictions. That's what we're told. So why would Senator Obama feel the need to finesse his position, if only in his rhetoric?
Well, I think some of those claims are not backed up by reality. The Knights of Columbus recently commissioned a Marist poll that showed a slight majority of Americans claiming that they're pro-life. Now, Americans are not necessarily obviously a large majority supportive of outlawing abortion altogether, but most Americans are well to the right of Senator Obama on this issue. They want parental consent laws. They tend to be supportive of those. They tend to be supportive of waiting periods and other restrictions. And partial birth abortion, obviously, that's an area where people come together across parties. There was a bipartisan congressional majority that outlawed that. So, I mean, that's a clear instance where the American people have decided, no, this is the kind of limit we have to have. And that, again, partial birth abortion is an area where Obama is far to the extreme left of the American people. He has opposed bans on partial birth abortion. He claimed in the debate that, you know, he only did so because he wanted a health exception in there. But everyone familiar with that debate knows that health exceptions are the favorite tool of the abortion lobby for gutting pro-life laws, because health has been interpreted so widely in our law as to constitute just about anything, including my mental health, as in it will distress me to have this baby, so I need to have an abortion. And he has opposed a partial birth abortion ban staunchly for years, and he bragged about it to Planned Parenthood. So when he comes back a few months later or a year later and says, well, gee, you know, in theory, I'd sort of be against that too, the record just doesn't back it up.
He mentioned last year, and then I think subsequently in other venues, his intent, either immediately or sometime early in his presidency, should he be elected, to sign the Freedom of Choice Act. What exactly would that mean?
This is a very important piece of legislation that, unfortunately, a lot of pro-life voters don't really know much about. It would basically eliminate virtually all federal, state, and local restrictions on abortion with the stroke of a pen, especially if we have a majority in Congress that's prepared to back this, which it looks like we very well will. Obama has said he would sign it, and this would be all of those incremental pro-life laws that the pro-life movement has been working on for decades. You know, parental consent. You can't have an abortion before you're, you know, 18 without your parents' consent. You need to have a waiting period. You need to at least not have a partial birth abortion. I mean, all of these different incremental measures in states like Missouri and beyond would be wiped away immediately. And this would include the partial birth abortion ban, which was passed again by that bipartisan majority, signed by President Bush and upheld by the Supreme Court. It would be over with the stroke of a pen, and a lot of people don't understand what an impact a president could have by signing this. But I'll tell you, the radical abortion lobby certainly does, and that's why you notice they keep pretty quiet when Obama talks about being, you know, hey, we're just going to find the middle ground here, because they know he's made that promise and he's never backed off it. So they know, you know, he can say all he wants about how he wants to be labeled, pro-life, pro-abortion, but at the end of the day, if he signs the Freedom of Choice Act, they don't need to worry about anything else he says.
Maybe I'm just noticing this and there's nothing to it, but maybe there is, and if so, would you explain it to me, that the several times I've heard Senator Obama answer a question on abortion, he'll make a general defense of Roe. He'll talk about a right to privacy. And then he will almost immediately go on to talk about other women's issues or alleged women's issues, like equal pay for equal work. And he seems to be trying to tie these issues together with Roe, with privacy, with women's welfare in general. What's going on?
Well, you know, abortion is not something we like to talk about straight on. So we have to talk about how it's sort of about a woman's freedom, and it's about, you know, advancing, and we're not going back on the gains we've made. These are all, that last one is a quote from something he said to Planned Parenthood last year. But nobody really wants to talk about what exactly are the procedures that he's defending here. And when we're talking about partial birth abortion, which Obama has defended over and over, we need to be clear in terms of defending it by, of course, not voting to ban it and refusing to vote to ban it. We need to be clear on what this is. He doesn't want to talk about it, but we need to be very clear. It's the extraction of a fetus limb by limb and the suctioning of her brain so she can be delivered dead. That's not something that makes for a good soundbite, and you look a little bit extreme when you're defending that. So you have to pivot very quickly into talking about generalized talk of women's rights. And then it becomes an issue on the woman, and we have to focus on the woman because we don't want to focus on what we are making legal in terms of the child, what we are allowing her to do to a child, or more specifically, the doctor who performs the abortion. So, you know, the pro-life movement has been very successful in the past decade or so in focusing the conversation, reminding voters that this isn't just about the woman, it's also about the child, and we can care for the woman without killing the child. And really, nobody wants to defend killing a child, so if you are a staunch supporter of even the most extreme abortion laws, as Barack Obama is, you really can't spell it out or you lose people. And so that's why you start pivoting and talking about tangential issues that actually have nothing to do with abortion.
Colleen Carol Campbell is a regular guest, a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Her latest is titled Obama and Abortion, The Truth Lies in His Record. And you can read it on demand on our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Colleen, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back from this break, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, he's been with us all week. He's been, we call him the field marshal. He's been trooping through the major objections that we find from unbelievers to the truths of the Christian faith. When we come back, we'll deal with this one. Does the Bible have errors and contradictions? Is the Bible reliable? Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, next. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.